Hello everyone, and welcome back to Everything Life and Godliness. Today I have again with me Pastor Gary Dawkins. He's my pastor, the lead pastor of Mercy Vineyard Church here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm so glad to have him here again after almost a year of being on the podcast. Like I said, Pastor Gary is the lead pastor at Mercy Vineyard Church. He's husband to one woman.
There you go.
Dr. Mrs.
Get the qualifications.
Lakita Scott Dawkins.
Yeah, that's right.
Father to a beautiful daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grace Dawkins. Okay, I'll let you do the introduction.
Well, thank you for having me on. Absolutely. Again. And it's always a pleasure to be with you and to be with the audience. So hello, everyone. And thanks for joining us today. And yes, I am a pastor here at Mercy Vineyard Church. Come on through if you're ever in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. We would love to meet you and have you here to worship with us on a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening as we have a free meal and we have some classes that go on Wednesdays and all kinds of activities. Check out our website, mercyvineyard.org, for the details, and you can always check us out. All right?
Awesome. Thank
you. Let's
do
it. Yeah.
So today we'll be doing an exposition on Matthew 13 from verses 1 to 17. It's the parable of the sower.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
All right. You give me the hardest parable in the New Testament. Oh, yes. It is the hardest. You rarely find people preaching this parable. But we can talk about it.
Yes.
I like to hear it. Here it goes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start off. Let me pray. Read some, and then we can have some conversation around it. So Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for another opportunity. And Father, I'm so grateful for Tony and for how you're blessing her life and ministry. Holy Spirit, would you fall fresh on her, move in her life in ways that she can't even imagine. And God, I pray that you would bless and cover every person watching this video, listening to our voices, that their lives might be impacted, that they might be edified, and they might enjoy what you have for them today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I'll read it so that the audience knows. And if you have a Bible, you can read along with us. As a matter of fact, I'll read it from the New International Version, which is a little simpler, going from 1 through 17 of Matthew chapter number 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. There it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, the other fell on good soil, where they produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see and their eyes, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. That's verses 1 through 17. May God continue to bless those who put his word into practice. Amen. This is called the parable of the sower. Some call it the parable of the soils, because the soils are really what need to be addressed in this passage. But we can go through and look at it, and please feel free to ask questions.
Y'all, you know I will.
Type your questions in the chat, something like that. This is interesting because it starts off with Jesus jumping into a boat because crowds were coming to him, right? Jesus wasn't going to get the crowds. The crowds were coming to him. Yeah. He's getting popular at this point in his ministry. People love a good story. Don't you love a good story? Everybody loves a good story, don't they? And so we will often, those of us who love good stories, will travel far and wide. We will go to that church with that pastor who can really preach our socks off. We will go to the movies or to a show to see a performer do something that we really like. And so we have large crowds now gathering around Jesus, so much so that he had to get onto a boat, get out in the water in order to address the people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to see him because he would be talking to a standing crowd. And so he starts to talk in parables, really about the kingdom. And that's what this is all about. Parables are stories about the kingdom. So a parable, the word para, like paraclete, is one who comes alongside. This is a story that comes alongside people. It meets people where they are. And so Jesus talks in parables to communicate a complex heavenly principle in human language, right? Or in the language of the people who he's speaking to. This is Jesus being so culturally relevant. And that's amazing. Some people don't, they don't think it's right to be culturally relevant, right? Yes, it's wrong if we change our message for the culture, but we never want to change our message. We always want to change our methods. And so it's important for all of us who are believers never to run into some other culture or some other group of people and force our way on them. Yes, we might have the truth of Jesus Christ, but you should alter your presentation for the audience that's going to hear it.
Paul said, "Is being all things to all men."
That's right. That's right. So if you can't do that, then the word will go away and not be planted in good soil. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about today. So here Jesus is talking about the kingdom. And I think that many of us might miss that. But if you read the entire chapter of chapter 13, when you get a chance, read the whole chapter.
Yes,
read the whole chapter. You'll hear it's all about the kingdom. The kingdom. What is this thing called the kingdom? Why does Jesus talk about the kingdom so much? The number one topic that Jesus talks about in the scriptures is the kingdom. More than anything else, the topic that he talks about is the kingdom. And so he uses parables often to describe the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is it? The kingdom is not necessarily or just a place where the king is or some location. It is wherever the king rules and reigns.
Yes.
So the kingdom is the ruling and the reigning of the king. Jesus Christ, we believe, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the scriptures tell us, right? And so the kingdom is such a valuable principle that Jesus talks about it often. Have you ever found something that was so valuable that you were willing to give up everything for it? No, not yet. It's on the way. So yeah. I'll tell you the story. Like I was living in South Carolina, and I was working at a college. I was a college professor. And one day I walked into a faculty and staff gathering, and it was Hawaiian themed. And I saw this young lady with this flower dress, and like she was dancing, and she was at the door putting leis or flowers on every staff member's neck as they walked in. She had this bright, beautiful smile. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm falling in love with her smile just in that moment. And, at that time, I tried to talk to her, get her phone number. She gave me her email address, like not even the real email address. She gave me the work email address. And we right? So we talked every now and then through the work email. And eventually we went out on a date for dessert only. She didn't even go to dinner with me. She's like, okay, I'll meet you at this restaurant for dessert. Where we got brownie and anywho. I found someone so valuable that I exhausted my savings account.
You did not.
To buy a ring to surprise her. I exhausted all of my resources to impress her, to wow. Just for the opportunity to ask her, will you spend your life with me? And so I went for broke. I put this ring on her finger, and even after I put the ring on her finger and she said yes, like she got a job offer in New York. We were in South Carolina. And I said, I will give up everything. I gave up my career. I give up everything. To be with her, right? So is the story that we see in today's scripture that Jesus is saying, if you find something that is valuable to you, are you willing to give up everything that you think is valuable for this thing which is valuable? And that is what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is something that is later on when the text we see is so valuable. It says that it's like a man who found a treasure in a field and went and sold all his possessions in order to go back and buy that field. Right. The kingdom of God is something so valuable. And if you are listening today and the kingdom of God is this foreign concept, I would implore you to dig into what kingdom theology is, what the kingdom actually is, because Jesus says it's so valuable. You should want to give up your life for it. That if whatever I give up for it, I will find something better because of the kingdom. All right. So that's the introduction. That's a long introduction, Gary.
That's perfect.
But that's what this is all about. In the vineyard, so this is, our church is a vineyard church. The vineyard theology, we call it kingdom theology. And it is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. And so we believe that Jesus Christ came to inaugurate his kingdom on earth when he came the first time. And during his second coming, he will consummate the kingdom. So when we look at Jesus and see his life, wherever he goes, the kingdom was. Yes. He went, healed a person. He brought healing here, salvation here. He went around bringing the kingdom, and then he put the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that wherever we go now, we should be bringing the kingdom. Yes. It's not a selfish faith. It's a faith about bringing the kingdom to other people. Yes. All right. So this is what this passage is all about. Now he's teaching in a parable, telling a story. And the disciples are confused. They say in verse 10, Jesus, why are you always teaching in stories? Why can't you just talk plainly? And this is when Jesus throws a curveball that many people say, I thought Jesus was different. verse number 10. Mm-hmm. And the disciples came to him and said, I'm reading from the New American Standard now. I'm switching versions. Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Why? Verse number 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. What, Jesus, are you trying to, number one, hide the kingdom from people? And number two, why are you taking stuff from people, Jesus? I thought you were the giver of life and life abundantly. And Jesus is saying that those who, if you read the rest of it, he quotes Isaiah there, that if you have the eyes to see, right, you will understand. If you have ears to hear, you will listen. The problem in many of our Christian circles is that many people come looking for what's in it for me, not how can I come to the kingdom and serve the king. And so here, some people come and they see the performance of Jesus. They'd love the story. I love to hear a good story, but they don't go deeper. And so the story, any sermon that I preach, any sermon that Jesus preached, is just a taste for someone to go deeper with him. Yes. It's an invitation. And so if I just stay on the surface of, oh, yeah, that was a great story. Jesus is a good guy. He, you know, he lived a good life. He was a great motivational speaker. He was a great example for me to follow. If that's all Jesus is to you, you've missed the point. You have eyes and you're not seeing. You have ears and you're not hearing. There's something deeper here. And he says it's the kingdom. Is Jesus ruling and reigning over every area of your life? That's really the question. Yes. So Jesus, you know, I go to church on Sundays, every other Sunday, maybe once a month. Jesus, I just, you know, I got to work. I got a family. I got to make this money. I got to pay my rent. Oh, Jesus, but you know, I really enjoy living this kind of lifestyle. And I love doing this. And I really don't want to give up this, but I'll give you, you know, I put a little couple dollars in the offering plate when it comes by. We so many people live a Christianity that is so surface that it's meaningless. And I think that's what he's going to describe right now. So let's look at these different, let's identify what's happening here. There's a sower, a farmer, a planter. That sower, planter is God. And the sower is the one broadcasting seed. Broadcasting. I used to be in media, right? That's my background. I was a college professor in media, right? And we learned about broadcasting. I was a broadcaster. I was on radio for many years. A broadcaster sends their message out to the many. It will hit the target audience every now and then, but whoever tunes in will get the message. Right? So it's a whole lot of people come to church, a whole lot of people listening to this right now. And I am broadcasting a message. I'm sending it out, and some folks will listen. Some people will take it. Some people will swipe away. Yeah. Now, a broadcaster, right, in this sense, is taking a handful of seeds and spreading them. They're not planting one at a time. This farmer, this sower, is taking a handful of seed and throwing it, casting it out, broadcasting it onto a field. And what happens? That seed then goes into four different types of soils. So there's a sower, the farmer who's sowing seed. That's God sowing seed. The seed is the word of God. There's another name for the word of God. You know it. John 1:1. He says Jesus.
Yes. Oh, you know, that's scary. I was like, oh, what are you doing?
Keep you on your toes. That's all. So the word of God, John tells us in the Gospel of John that the word is Jesus.
Yes.
He is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes. John 1:14. And so the Father is spreading his Son to any and everyone. And some people will receive it. Some people will not. Let's check it out. There's a sower, there's seed, and then there's soil. Look at these soils. There's a the path. There's the stony ground. There's the thorns. And then there's good soil. All right?
There's birds too.
Oh, yeah. So when you get to the verse number 4, and as God sowed the word, right, some of those seeds fell beside the road or on the path, or right? This is the path or the beside the road. That's like the sidewalk. That's like if you're walking out in the woods and you see a path that other people have walked on, you walk on that path. You don't just walk out in the tall grass and get ticks all over you. You walk on the path that somebody else has walked on. And therefore, that ground has been compacted over time. That ground has become hard. That ground has become not fertile. Because grass grows all around it. But it can't grow grass or anything else because people are always stepping on it. How relevant that is to many of our lives. That many of you, many of us have been stepped on by other people. Many of us have been trampled on by other people. We've had experience with church folks and folks who are not in the church. And it has made our hearts hard. And sometimes we can't receive the word of God because we equate it to that experience I had. That problem that I'm going through, the health condition that I'm in right now, our hearts get hardened and calloused. And it's harder for us then to receive, to be receptive to the word of God. And when we are in that condition, he says that birds come and take that seed and eat it up. Have you ever seen, maybe you've planted some seeds, maybe you're farming and you plant something in the ground and those birds are just standing there waiting because they know if you don't plant it deep enough, they can just go and pluck it. They got a meal, free meal. And that's what happens. Many of us go to church, we hear a good sermon or whatever. And because of we haven't walked in forgiveness, because we haven't reconciled with who we might have challenges with. Because we blame God for the bad things that might have happened in our lives, that heart becomes hardened and we don't receive what is actually coming toward us. And the devil, it says, when Jesus explains this further on, comes in and he's the bird. He swoops in and takes that word, takes it as far away from you as he can. And so we never learn. Or the devil is a real devil now. Don't think it's some mystical character. There's a real devil, right?
Yeah.
There's a real devil, and he has real minions. Not like the ones in the movie, but they, but he has real, those are fallen angels. And he will send birds, fallen angels, whatever, to come and take that from you. And that comes in the form of, you know, you just heard a good word at church, and then somebody comes and gossips. They're talking bad about the pastor. They're talking about bad about the church. They talk. They got something negative they want to say.
You're shaking tables now.
Birds. You call them a bird next time. Somebody come to you.
You bird.
Bird. Get out of his shoe, bird. The question is, can you get rid of the birds?
Good question.
Are you just going to stay there and let the birds eat your seed?
Wow. That's just an amazing way to look at it. Because these things are so easy for the flesh to indulge in. This is a bird trying to steal my seed. Wow.
That's it.
I love that analogy.
That's not me. That's Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
Jesus is the greatest preacher that ever lived. All I'm doing is regurgitating what he already said. Listen, you can read this for yourself. Jesus even goes on after verse 18 to explain all of these things. Check out the words of Jesus. But so that's the first place, the hard ground, the beside the road. But then some of the seed fell on rocky places or stony ground. Verse number 5 says, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. That's interesting, right? If you plant seeds in rocky terrain, right, the roots can't go deep enough because it runs into the rocks. But the seed doesn't really know. The seed will still try to grow. And so you might see a green shoot pop up. And that's the seed. He's saying the seed is excited. Oh, I jumped up. I got the word. I got the word. Oh, what a good word, Pastor Gary. That was awesome. And what? When in that rocky soil, right? Because it's no root, it's going to wither away. And watch what verse number 6 says. When the sun rose, they got scorched. And this is the challenge with many of us in church, is that we'll hear a word. We'll come to church every week, some of us, and listen to the word. Oh, and that was great. That was a great sermon. But because we don't have a depth with relationship with Jesus, we get excited. And as soon as heat is applied to our life, it burns that seed up. So you can get a good word. A lot of people are running from church to church, trying to find the right pastor, trying to find the right church. No, you stay right where you are. God will plant something in you right where you are. The problem is, especially when you're running from pot to pot, church to church, you can't grow.
Yes, that's true.
Right? And so you stick around, you stay, and you allow the gardener to get in there and remove some of them rocks. You got to pray, God, can you remove these stones that are surrounding me, these things that I'm allowing to block myself from getting rooted in you? And so when the heat comes, when the sun comes, we don't get burned up. You know, when life gets hard, do I run away? When the preacher says a word from the Bible that contradicts what I want, do I now get on social media, pastor coming after me, or talk to my friend, gossip, or whatever it is, whatever the heat is that's applied to us, we have to understand, the sun is there to grow us.
Yes.
And therefore, when we get heat from other people, from life circumstances, when things don't go our way, it's not always the devil. It's not always somebody trying that hates me and all that kind of stuff. God can use people and problems and health and things to apply heat, right? The sunshine to us, because out of that challenge we grow. If we are planted deep enough, if we have roots. All right.
That was so good.
The next one is so others fell among thorns. And the thorns came up and choked them out. I have these nasty things in my yard called thistles. You ever seen a thistle?
Yes.
That thing is that's a mean plant right there. Mm-hmm. Listen, you step on the thistle, you're going to be crying. That thing's going to go through your foot. It's got these little thorns and pricks on it. But also, they don't like to go away. It's a weed in the ground, right? Yeah. And like, I have this little tool that I can push down in the ground, twist it, and it's supposed to pull it up by the root. But the problem with a thistle is that if you break the root, if there's like this much root left in the ground, it'll repopulate.
It'll grow again.
It'll grow again. Yeah. Right? You got to kill that thing all the way to the root. And why? Why do you want to do that? Because thistles take nutrients from the grass.
Yes.
There you go. It's choking the grass out. right? It's not going over there and grabbing it and saying, but it is taking that nutrient. And so when the seed is planted in the ground and there are thorns, thistles, weeds surrounding it, those things choke it out. What kind of community are you in?
Word.
Who do you hang out with?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life that's choking the gospel out of you?
Hi there. We have come to the end of the first part of this exposition on the parable of the sower with Pastor Gary Dawkins. I hope that you've been blessed so far. I have been blessed. If you have been blessed, please share this video with someone who could use the encouragement and who needs to hear this word. And we will see you next week by the grace of God. Have a wonderful week ahead and God bless you. Bye.